Very nice. Well done.
It's a big deal.
Okay. Fine. Does my recording stop? Yes, it did. Okay. Okay, so we are in the middle of discussing Mitzvah Baba Avera. We were in the middle of discussing Mitzvah Baba Avera. I just wanted to mention that there is Mitzvah Baba Avera is literally one of the most famous sugyos in all of Shas. So since we have come to what Adas in Alachi, we should mention the shittos involved in understanding Mitzvah Baba Avera. Right, the problem with Mitzvah Baba Avera, what does Mitzvah Baba Avera sound like? It sounds like you're doing Avera in the course of doing a Mitzvah, right? And that passes the Mitzvah. The problem is that we have a lot of evidence from Gemara that that's not the case. There are any number of times when the Gemara mentions that, you know, Bemi Kreh and Avera happens in the course of a Mitzvah and it doesn't necessarily pass on a Mitzvah.
Didn't we touch on it before?
We mentioned Mitzvah Baba Avera, but as in with a Sukkah Gezula,
yeah.
Right? But this is the first time we really talked about it, right? And even leaving that aside, we also talked about Shittas Rashi a little bit, Mitzvah Baba Avera, yeah. I think we did. Anyway, and even leaving that aside, right, there are lots of cases where the Gemara takes something which really should have been a Mitzvah Baba Avera and says, you need a special drasha to prove that it didn't work. For example, Matzah Shel Tevel. Right, everybody knows what tevel is. It's fruits that were grown in Eretz Yisroel by a Jew, and you have not yet taken trumas and maestros from them. It is a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. Right, it's asim midorais to eat that. And yet, the Gemara needed to have a special limud to prove that if you were to eat matzah shel tevel, you would not be yotze. So say old Rishonim, but why isn't it mitzvah baba avera? Right? Doesn't it sound... It really sounds like a mitzvah baba avera, right? So Begadol, the Shittos and Rishonim fit into three categories, right? The Tosfos, which are quoted in the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rashba and the Yambarvah, the Chachmei Sfarad as well, say the following. They say that mitzvah baba avera is not a general category in mitzvahs. Not every mitzvah has this psul of mitzvah baba avera. Mitzvah baba avera only comes on the mitzvah as what's called leratzos. But it comes to appease God, so to speak. So lulav comes to be meratze. How do I know lulav comes to be meratze?
Because
this is
to be beautiful.
No.
Water. Isn't it for rain?
What does that? What do you mean?
That part of it, so that Hashem gives us rain. Huh?
So yeah, the Gemara in Tainis explicitly says that lulav is a tefillah for rain. Right. Given that the lads of the Tainis stuff based on a base, if I remember correctly, right. Given that the Gemara in Tanya says that tefillah is that lulav is a tefillah for rain, therefore, right, this is meratze. Another case where the Gemara mentions mitzvah baba avera, this doesn't mean mitzvah baba avera for different reasons. I don't want to go into the sugya now. Is shofar if you blow a stolen shofar? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says the shofar is to be meratze. It's to make Hashem judge us more favorably on Rosh Hashanah, right, and so on and so forth. So Tanya say the only cases where you'll have a mitzvah baba avera is when it comes to be meratze. Now the Tosfos have a problem. The Gemara literally explicitly says that that if you have a matzah gzula, right, a matzah which is stolen, right, and then the bailim were misyoish. The bailim sort of forgot about, right, you're doing now by the mitzvah, so you're familiar with the concept of yosh. Yosh means that they gave up on ever getting it back. In that case, it becomes yours, right, in certain circumstances. I don't want to go into details right now, right?
And therefore you
can
fulfill the mitzvah.
And therefore you can fulfill the mitzvah by eating that matzah. But the Gemara says that you do not make a bracha on it, and the Gemara calls the mitzvah baba avera. So Tosfos have to say that's a different type of mitzvah baba avera. That's not what we're talking about here. Right? That's a different thing. It's not really the same mitzvah baba avera. It's just called by the same name. Right? And that's a special din that a bracha should not be served on something that's stolen, because that's like disgusting to God. Right?
Sanhedrin.
Sorry?
It's got a mention in Sanhedrin.
I'm not certain exactly what you're referencing, but...
B'tzei
Barech Ne'etz Hashem. Yes. It is also a Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's what you're referencing. Yes. Yeah. The pasuk that the Gemara uses as a proof for this is not the standard pasuk of Mitzvah Baba Avera. It's a different pasuk of Mitzvah Baba Avera. It's called. It's the pasuk is Beitzea Beirach Ni'etz Hashem.
What?
No,
we did it in Shitta.
Oh, very good. Right, so that's the Shittas of Tosfos. The Ritva learns it a little differently. The Ritva is similar to the Shittas Rashi that we already described. Right, the Ritva says that Mitzvah Baba Avera doesn't mean that in the course of doing a mitzvah you incidentally perform an avera. It means that in the course of a mitzvah you necessarily perform an avera. What's the case of in the course of mitzvah necessarily performing an avera? It's not a case of when you... Excuse me. just take somebody else's lulav. Right? That's not necessarily involving Avera. That just happened to involve an Avera in this particular case. A case where you necessarily involve an Avera is if you, you know, you made your lulav from something that you stole from the tree. Meaning it's already been stolen prior to the Chag coming in, and therefore it inherently involves an Avera from here on in. It can never not involve an Avera. Right? So from here on in, any time you use that lulav, it will necessarily involve an Avera. Now, this chiluk is a little bit hair-thin, but that's the way the Ritva understands Mitzvah Bav Avera. So I don't actually remember now the other example. He does bring out examples, I don't remember them. But the Zeder, that's his Shita, right? It has to be something that prior to you actually performing the Mitzvah, it was inevitably going to involve an Avera. Not that it just happened to involve an Avera because of the circumstances. Right?
Still a goat, and then...
You,
from that stolen goat, you take a ram, you take the shofar.
Well, no, we don't, like I said, for other reasons, we pass in that shofar is not subject to mitzvah. Because we pass in that it's really the sound, like the mitzvah is not blowing the shofar, the mitzvah is hearing the shofar, so it's only in the sound can't be stolen. Okay, that is the ritva. The Ramban has the simplest teretz of all. Ramban says, Inachinami, matzah shel tevel is a mitzvah haba b'avira. Then you'll ask me, why does the Gemara need to have a special drasha for Matzah Shel Tevel as pasul? Which pasuk are we quoting? Adam Ki Yikrav Mikim. Right? Where's Adam Ki Yikrav Mikim from? It's a pasuk from which sefer in Tanakh? Malachi. Malachi is in which part of Tanakh? Yeah, Nevi'im. Meaning, can a halacha d'oraisa come from Nevi'im? No, it's what's called Divrei Kabbalah. Right, it's somewhere between a Daraisa and a Darabanan, right? It's not a real Daraisa. When you learn the cases where the Gemara provides an actual drosha for things that look like a mitzvah of Avera, it's really because the Gemara is saying there's a puzzle not just midarabanan, they're puzzle even midaraisa. Meaning it's not just that Chazal are saying it's pasnich to perform mitzvahs and do Averas at the same time, therefore you should re-perform the mitzvah in such a way that didn't involve an Avera. It's that the Torah is saying that's puzzle. That only happens in certain cases.
That's who?
Sorry?
Who says that last?
That was the Ramban.
Very simple.
Rabbeinu David as well says it. Rabbeinu David on Pesachim, on that sugya of Matzah Shel Tevel on Pesachim, Rabbeinu David says it. Rabbeinu David is a big Talmud of the Ramban. Okay. Shkoyech. Let's continue. Okay. So Gemara, we discussed that you can't use... Right, gozel do yin pseach. Ma pseach is tichanta, af gozel is tichanta. The Gemara said that the case of a stolen lulav is similar to or a stolen korban, right? The pasuk in Malachi is actually talking about a korban, right? So, the case of a stolen korban has to be a case of a lame, similar to the case of a lame korban, which is one of the other things that's criticized in that pasuk. If you bring a korban which is lame. Right, just like a lame korban, there's no real way to fix that. It's going to, if an animal's lame, it's lame forever. Right, so too, a stolen korban is going to be possible forever. So that means whether it's before Yeush, before the Bailim gave up on getting the original Bailim, the people who owned the korban, that animal, gave up on getting it back, or after they gave up on getting back, right? Remember, if somebody stole it, and then they gave up, and then it it moved into somebody else's rishus, then the second person already can keep it. Right, but he can't bring it as a korban because of mitzvah b'av avera, because this animal was stolen. Right, even though it's mutter for him to keep the animal because he got it after Yush.
So that animal forever until it dies, it can never be used as a korban.
Exactly. Right. So it says, and then the Gemara says, Bishlama lefi lifnei Yush. It makes sense that you would say that this is true before Yush. Right. Adam ki yakriv mikem amar chamana velavdideyu. Right? The pasuk says in Sefer Vayikra, Daber ovni Yisrael v'amarta Adam ki yakriv mikem. Right? The famous Rashi in this pasuk is Adam. Even a goy can bring a korban. Right? But Adam ki yakriv mikem, the other comment that Rashi makes in this pasuk is that mikem, it has to be your korban. You can't bring somebody else's korban. It has to be your korban that you're bringing. Right? So when you bring a korban to the base of Mikdash, you have to own it. If you stole it and the person hasn't been misyoyishit, he hasn't given up on getting back, it's not yours. You're not allowed to keep it. The halacha says you have to return it. Right? front. Since there is a mitzvah to return the animal, it is mimeila not yours. It is automatically not yours. Since it is not yours, right, you can't bring it as a korban. That's obvious, right? Don't we usually assume that if it's after Yeush, if it's after the person's given up on getting the animal back, that Yeush is koine, right? That you can keep it. Like I said, I don't want to go into the details of when you can keep it. Usually it's after a shinui rishus as well, or a shinui. Some sort of change in it is required. It's whole sub use in Bava Metzia that you will do over the course of the year, so I'm going to skip those details now. But fine, right? It must be if you say it's possible even after Yush, it's not because it's not yours, it is yours. It must be it's because it's a mitzvah haba b'avira. What does the pasuk mean that says I am Hashem who loves justice and who hates thievery and injustice or something, right? It's a reasonable translation of that pasuk. Mashal the melech basar adam shehaya over al beit hamechas amar la'avadav tnu mechas lamoichsim. Imagine a case of a king, regular king, right, who was passing a customs house, and so he said to his servants, "Go give the customs inspectors the customs. Go pay the taxes, right?" Amrulay, they said to him, "Valei kol hamechas kulei shalchau." But wait. You're the king. Why are we paying the customs inspectors for you? It's anyway coming back to you. It's your money. Right? Any taxes they collect is on your behalf. Right? Amar lahem, he said to them, Mimeni emadu kol ovri drachim v'li avrichu atzmanim in amechech. He says, if I pay taxes and everybody else will see that I'm paying taxes, they'll see it's important to pay taxes and they'll pay taxes too.
It's halavah. Okay.
Parenthetically, and this is a very important parenthetical note, so I'm going to go ahead and say it, even though it is purely parenthetical. Rav Schechter and Rav Lichtenstein Zichron Livracha and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zichron Livracha and the Rav Zichron Livracha and Rav Moshe Feinstein Zichron Livracha and every Pusik I've ever heard ever discussed or seen right on this particular topic, Paskins, that bitzman hazeh, tax evasion has a din of gezel deoraisa. Why? Because in the time of the Gemara when people used to evade taxes, why did they used to evade taxes? Because some goyish king was coming along and he was just taking the money for himself. These days, when we pay taxes, we pay to the government that then uses the money on our behalf to provide us with services. If you don't pay taxes, then somebody else ends up paying for you.
What happens in the case where you know that the president of your country takes millions and millions?
I am not going to be done in the specific case of South Africa because I have nothing positive to say about South Africa. okay, right. Therefore, evading taxes, at least in normal countries, is an isur de oraisa. Do not do it. It makes you puzzle the edus, the whole show. It is mamish gezel. Okay, parenthetical note ended. I'm sorry?
Paying taxes means that I'm earning money. So.
Yeah, I actually had the truth is, it did actually happen when I was in Washington Heights. In Washington
you're
Heights.
Taxes?
What?
You'll be in taxes while
no, the opposite. When I was in Washington Heights, I used to insist on paying everything with my credit card, and all the shopkeepers looked at me all crazy because they said if you don't pay with your credit card, we'll give you 20% off, and they do. And the reason why is because then they don't have to pay taxes. They don't have to pay.
In Brooklyn, it's much more.
They don't have to deal with compliance fees, yeah. Right? Yeah. Therefore, they will offer you on the spot a 20% discount if you pay in cash instead of with a credit card. And I insisted on paying with a credit card to make sure that taxes were paid.
Is that
what
it's taxed?
What?
Is that considered? But it's a loophole within the system. It's not like you're doing anything
no, it's
illegal.
Not.
No, it's illegal. It's just the government has no real way of policing it. It's not practical for the government to look after
it.
It's
like under the table, you pay less and I pay less.
Yeah.
The government's expecting you to pay off your income regardless of how you make it. You
yeah, it's so not a, it's not saying the government didn't make a cash transaction tax free. It's just in practice, a cash transaction is easier to hide because it's no record.
The taxi drivers, when they want to do it off the meter, that's not the same.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, fine. So I used to insist on paying with a credit card. Because that way I knew that there were taxes being taken.
Why did you change?
What?
Why did you change?
I didn't. I mean, when I hear, I don't mind it. Because here, like as in here, that culture doesn't exist. Of everything is in cash and nobody pays taxes.
Wow.
At least, as far as I know, I haven't heard of it here. Certainly don't offer you a discount for paying tax. For paying cash, like, that makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, fine. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar Ani Hashem Seinei Gezel Ba'avlam Imeni Yilmedum Nei Benai Biavri Chorasman Bina Gezel. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I am a God who hates thievery and injustice. My sons will learn from me, and they will stay away from thievery. They won't steal. Right, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu refuses to accept something that was stolen. Okay?
Yep.
Yitzmar Nami. Right, Amar, you could also say, Amar Rabbi Ami Yavesh Pasel Mipnei She'en Hadar Gazel Pasel Mishum Dehavei Le Mitzvah Ba'ba Ba'ri Rabbi Ami said, a lulav yavesh, a dried out lulav, but when we say we're dry, we mean really dry. Right, it's like really, really dry. Like basically yellow. Is possible because it's not hadar, it's not beautiful, and a mitzvah, and a stolen lulav is possible because of mitzvah Ha'ba Ba'avera. Pliga de Rabbi Yitzchak, and this is different to what Rabbi Yitzchak says. That Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel is Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani. He said the name is Shmuel. Lo yishanu ela beyom tov rishon aval beyom tov sheni mitoch sheyotzi b'shol yotzi nami begazel. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani said in the name of Shmuel, right? Since on yom tov sheni, in yom sheni or yom tov sheni, it doesn't matter. The second day of Sukkos already. You can be yotze with a glul of shaul. We mentioned this yesterday, right? If you've listened to the recording, or if you've read the Gemara, learn the Gemara on your own, right? You can on yom tov sheni. You can be yotze with a glul that's not yours. If you borrow it from somebody, you can be yotze. Right? So just like you be yotze with a glul which is borrowed, you can be yotze with a glul of which is stolen on the second day. That was Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman. He said the name Shmuel. Okay. Massive Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lulav Gazel VaYavesh Pasul Hashaul Kosher. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak responded. He said, "Lulav, a lulav which is gazel, which is stolen, is pasul. A lulav which is yavesh, dried out, is pasul. That's what the Mishnah said, right? That was what the Mishnah said. So doesn't that imply that if it was borrowed, it's kosher? Right? Isn't that the implication of the Mishnah? Why didn't the Mishnah just say a lulav which doesn't belong to you?" The fact that it said specifically Gozel implies that it's unique to Gozel, right? Any other lulav which doesn't belong to you would be kosher. Amos. When is this true? Ilema b'yom tev rishon ha'ksiv lachem. Mishal lachem. If we're talking about yom tev rishon, no, the pasuk says lachem. And that means you should use a lulav which is actually yours. It belongs to you. V'hai lav didehu, this lulav does not belong to you. Ela lav b'yom tev sheni v'kathani Gozel pasul. Rather, aren't we saying, even on Yom Tov Sheni, when you can use a lulav which is borrowed, you can lose a lulav which doesn't belong to you, as long as it's precious, right? But even so, we're saying a stolen lulav is pasul. Doesn't this imply, since we know that a lulav which doesn't belong to you at all, in any circumstance, is going to be pasul on Yom Tov Rishon, the fact that we specified a lulav gozel is pasul must be mentioned, really talking about Yom Tov Sheni, not Yom Tov Rishon. And since it's telling you about Yom Tov Sheni, doesn't that imply that Gozel is absul for the entirety of Sukkos? Not just for the first day?
No,
right, against this statement of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani and Neymar Shmuel?
Cool.
So it says, no, Amarava la'ilam b'yom tov rishon v'leimi b'yakam v'leimi b'yashol d'lav didayu avar Gozel leimah stam g'zeilah yosh b'ylim hu v'didadami kamashlan. So it says, no, Rava defend this opinion of Shmuel. Really, it was talking about Yom Tov Rishon. Even the Mishnah saying that Lulav Gozel is possible was really talking about Yom Tov Rishon. Right? But why didn't it say Shaul? Why did it say Gozel? But that specific type of Lulav, which you don't own. You might have thought, when it comes to a Lulav Shaul, it's not yours. Right? A Lulav which is borrowed is not your Lulav. It doesn't belong to you, and therefore you can't use it because it's a Lachem. Right? Lachem, it has to be Mishal Lachem, it has to belong to you. A Lulav which is Gozel, which was stolen. Somebody stole a pine branch from me, and 3 myrtle branches, and 2 willow branches. And I like a lemon, basically, right? I mean, it's sad. I don't really expect to get it back.
Are you kidding? My dad's lulav was taken by mistake. He was so cross. I've never seen my dad that cross.
Okay.
He loves his lulav. He loves his lulav.
He's like one of those people who spends hours picking just the right one.
No, not so much picking. More like caring for it. He's got like the, like you know how like about the last day, Bajan Rabbit, everyone's
the Arabis are a little bit sad, yeah.
He's perfect. He like takes perfect care of him. Unbelievable.
There you go, you have to find out his secret. Anyway, so fine, right? It's saying no, a stolen love for somebody other than your dad, right? Doesn't the person doesn't really expect to get it back.
I think Rashi says that actually.
It is. It's imperative, actually. Okay. You don't expect to get a stolen love back, necessarily. It's like, might come back. You don't really expect to get it back. It's like a tree branch, you know. The tree branches live there. Like, they're around. You know, these days, we go to the guy in front of the shul, and we pay, you know, anywhere from 80 to 150 shekel for our luminescence. Maybe pay more, I don't know. Right? That's sort of set of standard prices for something that's reasonably mehudar, right? In those days, they didn't pay 150 or whatever, you know, like 150 zuz or something for a lulav. And they went to a bloody palm tree and chopped it off. Like, that's how they got their lulav. How they got their hadassim? They went to a myrtle tree and they chopped off the hadassim. And same thing with the arabos. That's how they got their arabos. How do you think they got their arabos with them? Right? So, since that is the case, they would have thought, you would have thought that the person's basically just given up on getting back. The second it's stolen, he's like, I'm just never getting back, I'll get another one. Right?
Yeah.
And then you might have thought that it would be, it would belong to the guy, to the person who has it now. You might have thought that, that with a lulav, if it's stolen, you're actually more likely to have a reasonable claim on it now, because the person who originally owned it doesn't really have an expectation of giving it, getting it back. He's given up. Right, Kamash Malan, that's not the case. Come out, we do not hold that way.
How can you even say that on the second day a stolen lulav will be alright if you hold by mitzvah ba'avei aveira? It's still mitzvah ba'avei aveira, regardless whether it's yours or not, regardless whether of the requirements. That's what it said. So
either say that there's no mitzvah ba'avei aveira on in lulav or on the second day or something, right? Because it's only darabanan. Or I don't know. I suppose that's what you have to say. That's a good question. I suppose that's what you have to say. Okay. Amar lehu Rav Huna lehanhu. I suppose Anvankri. I never know how to pronounce this word. Rav Huna said to these merchants.
Sellers.
I'm sorry?
No.
They're like merchants.
Yeah.
Right? So Rav Huna said to them, Kizav nisu asa minochri lezigzlu asun elixalua inu yahavu lechu. My time is dam nochrin gazlani arasaninhu vekarka eina nigzalas. Okay, so says Rav Huna to these merchants, when you buy hadassim. Hasa is like it's a hadas, hadasim, right? So when you buy hadasim from the goyim, right? Then don't cut them off yourselves. Like, do not cut them from the tree yourselves. Let them cut it from the tree, and then, right, they will give it to you. Right? Why? Because he says, this is politically incorrect. Stam Nochrim. Nochrim are not careful about ownership. They're not careful about who owned that land. Right? And therefore, the Hadassim are really stolen. Right? And if they were stolen from a Jew, then that is a mitzvah haba be'avira. Right? You cannot use those Hadassim for the mitzvah. Right? Therefore, do not do this. Do not use these Hadassim. Right? Instead, have them cut it off for you, and then you can take it.
How does it solve it?
Sorry?
How does that solve it?
How does that solve it? Right, basically, because remember we said that Yush, desperation, when they give up on ever getting that object back, it works after it's moved to a new rishus, moved to a different person. If you cut it off yourself, then the hadassim belong to you. Right? And therefore, Yeush happened after you cut it off. Right, but if they cut off or cut it off, and then we assume the Balaam are never expecting to get the Hadassim back, because like they're tree branches, then we're going to get back, right? And then they pass it on to you, they sell it to you, now there was a Shinui Rishus after Yush, and then it really belongs to you.
But do we not say before that once it's stolen forever? It means far, 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 far,
yeah, and I also thought...
that just like the lamb can never be come back, so to the... So you can never fix the lame animal, so you can never fix the stolen
animal. So interesting. I don't know. Rashi seems to be says that this day Rashi deals with that. He says that it must be that Rav Huna thinks that mitzvah b'aveira is only if you did the avera. Okay. If somebody else did the avera, it's not such a problem.
It's like grammar. It's removed.
It's odd because it's against l'chora, at least the Gemara and Brachos, but also a couple other places. But yeah, that's how Rashi deals with it, and that's what he says. Rav Huna must be of the opinion that it's only if you did the Avera, not if somebody else did the Avera. Okay, Rashi has a nice little knesh here, which I just want to talk about for a second. Rashi says that the land, we're worried the land belonged to a Jew. What's the obvious question?
Why does it matter?
Yeah. We pass in a stealing from a goy is also just like stealing from a Jew. It's admittedly a machlokes in the Gemara, right? So there are days in the Gemara stealing from a goy is only asking darabanan, but we passed in that stealing from a goy is asking daraisa, just like stealing from a Jew. Right? So why on earth would you distinguish between stealing between it belonging to a goy and it belonging to a Jew? So there is about this in Nesivos HaMishpat and Aruch Samech. Nesivos HaMishpat has the following explanation, which I thought was nice. Basically as follows, right? Why is it that we assume that something which is gozel, which is stolen, does not belong to the person who does not just be in the property of the thief? Why does it not belong to the thief and it continues to belong to the person who originally owned it? Because it's a mitzvah to return it. But if it's a mitzvah to return it, you can't really say the thief owns it. But there is no mitzvah min haTorah of Hashavas Zela with a goy. Right? If it was stolen from a goy, there is no mitzvah in the Torah of Hashavas Zela. It is a mitzvah in the Darabanan because of Chilul Hashem. When exactly it applies, when it doesn't apply, Seder, Diyun, right? There is a mitzvah of Hashavas Zela even with a goy, or Hashavas Aveda even with a goy, because of Chilul Hashem Shamayim. Right? Because if the goyim find out that we're not returning their property to them, it'll be a big Chilul Hashem. Right, but min haTorah, there is no mitzvah of either Hashavas Aveda or Hashavas Zela with a goy. And then therefore, the second somebody stole it, from a goy, mind you, it's theirs. In Achinami, they did an Aveira. They did something that's very, very usur. That doesn't mean they have to return it. Right? Since they don't actually have to return it, it is now theirs. That was the way the Nesivos HaMishpat explained that. That was nice. Yeah?
But that seems to imply that mitzvah b'aveira Aveira isn't necessarily on the Aveira, but on the ownership. Didn't you say it was on the Aveira?
Sorry?
That seems to imply that mitzvah b'aveira Aveira isn't a din in the Aveira, but in the ownership.
Then you have to assume, like the Ramban that we quoted, right? The Ramban or Tosfos assume that mitzvah Aveira is a din the mitzvah Aveira, not in creating the chayfet shel mitzvah. Cool.
Shkoyech.
We will continue.